That's right. It's Big News Wednesday. Which means, by the way, that you're not just stuck with me, John Adirola. J.R. Jackson is here. J.R. Jackson is here. J.R. Jackson, how's it going?
This is messed up. I don't know which way to point. This is the wrong way.
I know. It feels weird that it's like reversed. He's over there. He's also, by the way, right on the other side of that wall.
No lie.
It's weird. We're so close.
There's a wall right there. And actually, if John yells, which I've heard him yell on his show, I can hear him still. I'm like, John is over there.
Inconceivable.
John's over there janking out right now.
Exactly. I got kind of mad earlier in the week. Anyway, very glad to have you here, JR, especially because I'm just going to say it. We have got a rundown today. I mean, in an awful way, so many of the stories are just deeply distressing in a lot of different ways, but it's just, we're not going to avoid it. We're going to dive right into it. We fit in as much as we can, and I will add, there's several things I wanted to talk about on today's rundown that we couldn't quite fit. That JR, I saw you had on your show, and for each story, I was like, oh, I wish I was covering that too.
But you could.
No, there's no time. There's no time. It's too much. It's too much. Okay.
Can I have a side note conversation? We used to do this more, and I know we get to things, and it's fine, but really fast, because I eavesdropped on your Friday show with Brett. Sometimes I do that because on Friday, I'd be like, oh, I have a couple minutes. Let me just see what they're talking about. I like to see the beginning of your show, John. I actually do. I really enjoy it.
Thank you.
And I think Brett said it because I came up somehow. I don't remember how, but I came up. I said, oh, they're talking about me. Good. And Brett said, JR is unpredictable when it comes to what maybe a topic, a story subject. Yeah. He goes, he's either like, this is the most devastating, annoyingly angering thing I've ever seen. Or he's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
And he never knows which one you're going to get from me. And I didn't know that. But it's fascinating. I actually like that persona that apparently I didn't know I had.
You're the wild card. I don't know what that makes Brett or me, but we'll figure it out. Anyway.
And also, is it true? You guys, let me know. Is it true? I need to learn about myself. Let me know.
Is he the most wild card in terms of, oh, yeah. Okay. So we launch into a story. Mm-hmm. And How sure are you that you know what our take will be? That's what I want to know out of the audience. Who's right. The most predictable? Who's the least predictable?
Yeah.
Don't hurt my feelings. Anyway, with that said, we got a lot to talk about. We're going to be closing out the full show. If you're watching the full show live, our last story is going to be only the dumbest tweet. It is so dumb for multiple reasons at the same time. So one of the pre-show, by the way, guessed what I meant. All I said was we're going to be talking about a dumb tweet, and they knew which tweet we were going to be talking about. But that'll be coming up to close out the show. And Dissident PM knows what I'm talking about. Anyway, with that said, we're going to jump into it in just a sec. That said, we live under the cruel reign of the algorithm. So if you could give it a little bit of help by liking the stream, sharing it, perhaps people get the notifications and all that, that would be great. And if you want to send us any messages, Jer and I will respond as we go. But with all that said, JR, are you ready to talk about the news?
I think I'm ready.
Okay, well, everyone get ready because we've got dramatic DOJ news. Let's jump into it.
Look, we pursue justice without fear or favor. We intend to hold everyone, anyone who was criminally responsible for the events surrounding January 6th, for any attempt to interfere with the lawful transfer of power from one administration to another, accountable. That's what we do. We don't pay any attention to other issues with respect to that.
So if Donald Trump were to become a candidate for president again, that would not change your schedule or how you move forward or don't move forward?
Say again that we will hold accountable anyone who is criminally responsible for attempting to interfere with the transfer, legitimate lawful transfer of power from one administration to the next.
Merrick Garland doesn't care about all this. Oh, I was president recently stuff. Or, oh, I might launch another presidential run. You can't touch me. You can't touch me. He doesn't care about that. He's a tough guy. He's going to come at anybody who broke the law, whether it's Trump or whatever. He'd have us believe. That's not how I would describe him. And I don't think it's going to work out that way. But that announcement was accompanied yesterday by some dramatic news. Federal prosecutors have directly asked witnesses in recent days about former President Donald J. Trump's involvement in efforts to reverse his election loss, suggesting that the DOJ's criminal investigation has moved into a more aggressive and politically fraught phase. Now, many people will respond to this news saying, wait, they weren't asking about his involvement before? Apparently not. Apparently, we're a year and a half into this, and they just recently thought, should we ask about the guy who did it? I suppose, you know, just to dot our I's and cross our T's or whatever, we'll ask about the dude who cooed. And I like that they're moving in that direction. I can get behind this. Now, this is dramatic, provocative, spicy news. And in response to it, neither Trump or the DOJ could immediately be reached for comment, according to Axios. But by that, they mean the through official means, because you better believe and bet your ass that Trump did respond to it. He just did it on Truth Social, saying just more disinformation by the Democrats, like the Russia scam, impeachment hoax one, impeachment hoax two. Those are two of my favorite Dr. Seuss characters, by the way. The long running Mueller report, which ended in no collusion with capitals, and so much more. Rather than go after the people that rigged and stole it, they go after the people that are seeking honesty and truth and have freedom of speech and many other defenses on their side. And perhaps anticipating where this investigation is going to focus on when it comes to Trump, he decided to get out in front of that too, saying the Georgia phone calls were perfect. Many people and lawyers on both sides were knowingly on the one call. I assume the call was taped and there were capital Z zero complaints or angry, how dare you charges made during the call, and no hangups. Wait, hold on, come back to me. There were no hangups. Why are those in air quotes? Do you mean hanging up or not? By anyone aggrieved or insulted at what they said, they were perfect calls. So I don't even know if that's what the DOJ is gonna be focused on. We're gonna get into some of the specifics that have been revealed. And at least from what I've seen so far, it's not specifically about the Georgia thing that they most recently have now started to really delve into. But that apparently is something that Trump is feeling like a little bit of pressure on. Now, before we get to our open conversation about this, I want to give you just a bit more about Merrick Garland, because although I am not necessarily bullish on him being, you know, like the Avenger we need here, he wants you to believe that he and other bodies are really taking this seriously. Take a look.
Justice Department has been doing the most wide-ranging investigation in its history, and the committee is doing an enormously wide-ranging investigation as well. It is inevitable that there will be things that they find before we have found them, and is inevitable that there will be things we find that they haven't found.
Well, what do you mean, buddy? What did you find that they haven't revealed yet? And that's exciting and plausible. They're the DOJ. They'll find things that the others didn't find. But wait, he's also acknowledging they'll find things that he didn't find? Okay, it's good to cover all your bases, but shouldn't you find it? He said in that interview, they got tons of lawyers on this thing. Also, that's their job. But no, apparently Liz Cheney's gonna track things down. Okay, that's fine. Thankfully, we have both, JR. So what do you think about this turn of events? They're looking into Trump.
I'm trying to calm down from that scintillating interview that Merrick Garland just conducted. Is he like the Democratic, or I guess the Biden's choice selection that's very similar to Barr? Because Barr spoke the same way. It's a grovelly, very slow, very boring voice. We're gonna follow and proceed through every aspect possible. So that you're like, I got to stop talking. I don't care what you're gonna do anymore. I don't care that you're not gonna pursue him. I don't care that you don't care about everything that he carried out and everything that's been proven in these January 6th hearings. Just stop talking to me. Mm-hmm. That's what it always boils down to. Is anyone, can you recite what Merrick Garland said in those two clips? Merrick Garland can't recite what he said in those two clips. Why is he there? Just stay shutting up and not doing anything, because all this does is prove to me that you're trying to, I guess, show some kind of damage control, or maybe speak about all the actions that you're carrying out, or just keep putting out statements and saying, we're on it. If you just say we're on it, and maybe you're not, maybe you are, whatever, we're going to see the results, because I'm still not convinced. But if you are on it, just get on it and don't tell us, yeah, there's things that we don't know that happened. I've got 112 lawyers on this. Who cares? Bro, this is one of the most frustrating people I've ever had to listen to. And I thought it was really hard listening to Obama, but at least he was interesting as he took 45 minutes to say something that was 10 minutes long. Anyway, I just had to get that part.
No. I was actually gonna point out that your impersonation of him was kind of like your Obama, where Obama will drag it out and then talk a little bit. It's like Jay Farrow's impersonation of Obama. But anyway, look at how hard to please J.R. Jackson is. You had Merrick Garland, the emperor of the DOJ, flexing all over that interview, talking about, I don't care about precedent, keep your memos to yourself, Barr, I will slap you across the face if you come near me. Now it's probably mostly for show. We know who Merrick Garland is. We know what the DOJ is under Democrats, by the way. So bear that in mind. But that
I want to say that one point, because you talk about how boring and nothing he's doing is. But if you ask any of these Fox News viewers that have been hearing about the Department of Justice and how they're pursuing charges and throwing people in jail unnecessarily, you know the mindset they've got of who Merrick Garland is? He's this blood dripping out of his teeth, savagely angry Department of DOJ head that's just pursuing all these charges that he can't wait to take Donald Trump and slam into prison, because they actually don't listen or watch anything that he says or does. This is the perception that conservatives will tell their viewers of what Democrats are, and this is the reality.
No, it's they're just scared people. It's like why they look at Trump and they see this big figure with a six pack abs. Then they look at the head of the DOJ and they see like Merrick Garland, the God Butcher, or something. Like he's gonna cut off Steve Bannon's head with a sword. He's not gonna do that. But anyway, there are more exciting details about the DOJ turning to really hone in on Trump. Bear in mind that up until this point, they've been largely silent about how and even whether it should weigh pursuing potential charges against Trump, reluctant even to concede that his role was discussed in senior leadership meetings, which is such a massive indictment of this investigation that you wouldn't even acknowledge that the dude who cooed should be investigated during the coup investigation. But anyway, we should also bear in mind going forward that asking questions about Mr. Trump in connection with the Elector's plot on the one hand or on the insurrection does not mean that the DOJ has opened a criminal investigation into him. They're not confirming that. They're implying that they haven't yet. But prosecutors have questioned witnesses testifying before a grand jury in recent days about their conversations with Trump and his closest advisors about the fake Elector's scheme. Two Pence aides who testified, one is Mark Short, we're gonna be showing you him a little bit later. That was Pence's chief of staff. Greg Jacob, who was his counsel, were both present at the big Oval Office meeting just a couple of days before the insurrection when Mr. Trump sought to pressure Pence into embracing the plan to cite these competing, fake, made up, imaginary slates of electors as justification to not certify the vote. And in fact, in recent weeks, the DOJ has seized phones from two key figures. So John Eastman, one of the craziest lawyers in the whole country. That's the lawyer who helped develop and promote the plan to not do the certification. Also Jeffrey Clark, a former DOJ official who was at the center of the related push to send the slates of electors pledged to Trump from states that Mr. Biden actually won. And prosecutors have also issued grand jury subpoenas to figures connected to the so-called fake electors schemes. This is, by the way, this is all seemingly separate from the Georgia stuff, where they have a state level investigation, and in theory, they could be looking into that too. This is a separate avenue of investigation. Recent subpoenas, and this is getting back into the fake electors thing, the Washington Post found that two Arizona state legislators were ordered to turn over any communications with member, employee, or agents of Donald J. Trump, or any investigation advocating in favor of Trump to be reelected, including Donald J. Trump for president. So some of those presumably who were part of the plot, who might have even been fake electors themselves, being ordered to turn over any information they have, not just if they've communicated with some of the groups, like third party groups that were trying to get this done, but Trump and his organization as well. And the chance that they didn't communicate with them. I mean, come on, it's so implausible. Now they may not do it willingly, but okay. Send them to prison with Steve Bannon too, honestly. And we've got, I think, the most interesting and again, damning details on the fake electors thing. We'll get to that in one sec. But JR, I know you're not hot, you're not bullish on this, but they're doing all of this investigating and subpoenaing and all that.
You know what? Okay, fine, John. They're moving. But the thing is you had to have a bit of a track record for at least your energy and your focus. So if you had to begin, be convinced by this committee from things that you had no idea was the case. And also now figuring out that Donald Trump might be a figure involved in this entire thing about saving his election that he did lose, that he said he didn't lose. The fact that you have to be clued in on this, that he's potentially a part of it, is just not, it's not satisfying. Let's keep it real. Now, again, I don't know anything about the process. Obviously, I've never been an attorney general. So maybe they're doing it in the best way possible. Maybe if they're burning down buildings and going crazy and going on and having press conferences about who they're going after, maybe that would actually taint the investigation. So
maybe.
I'm willing to be wrong. I'm not, my ego is not big enough to be like, I know what Merrick Garland should be doing. I just wish if you're gonna do it, do it. And if you're not gonna do it, just don't come and tell us how you're kind of thinking about maybe doing something. Cause that doesn't give us much confidence in your ability to defend the country. That's all.
Well, if they're gonna do something, here's something they should look into. So this came out in the last day or so. So it's internal communications in the people who are involved in that plot to just make up fake electors or whatever. And look, we know that that whole plot, it's not constitutional, it doesn't mean anything. But they have all this time, they would have you believe that no, it's serious. They have great respect for the Constitution and the law, and they're totally, totally serious about this. That's what they say to us. But what do they say to each other? Well, one individual, Phoenix-based lawyer who helped organize the Arizona-based fake electors thing, is an email, December 2020, to Boris Epstein, by the way. Jake Blenchick said, "We would just be sending in fake electoral votes to Pence so that someone in Congress can make an objection when they start counting votes and start arguing that the fake votes should be counted." And then apparently after doing a bit of thinking about it, and I think the most important thinking in politics is always after you send the email, he does a follow-up email writing that alternative votes is probably a better term than fake votes, and he put a smiley face emoji after it. Come on, they don't believe any of this. This is all fun times. This is all games. This is little fun games for them. They don't mean any of this. Even internally, they're joking about how fake their plot to overturn democracy is, JR.
Isn't that crazy? Listen, every time there's people that talk about what politicians do or plans behind something, or even the people who pay them to do it, they're always like, well, yeah, we haven't found the smoking gun. Oh yeah, no, I mean, they're not, this isn't actually pulling back the veil and there's this smoke-filled room of a bunch of conspirators. Those things usually don't pop up. We've seen like multiple examples of literally the smoking gun, in some cases, I guess. But also the smoke-filled room of people that are conspiring behind the scenes to try and pull these things off and openly saying, yeah, we're liars, these are fake. But let's not say fake because people might realize that we're fake. It's just said right there, straightforward. Who can still read this and support these folks? The folks who don't read it. And that's why we talked about on my show earlier when we were talking about folks at these Trump rallies, they just go la 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 la.
Yeah. Well, I think you're two-thirds of the way there. I think two-thirds definitely won't read it, or maybe even more. But there are a few people that they would read it. And they don't want Trump to be president because he won the election. They want Trump to be president. Done. End of story.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, make up whatever you want. They just want it. They should just be honest about that. Okay, now we're gonna go to a break. But when we come back, oh God, I love consequences for actions. They happen so rarely. Matt Gaetz after round, and you know what happens after that. We'll break it down for you after this. Matt Gaetz is full of jokes recently. He was having so much fun in his little speech, making fun of the physical appearance of people fighting for their reproductive rights. And that was in general. And then he decided, no, I'm gonna go a little bit further. I'm gonna attack one particular activist. And he did that, tweeting this, which we talked about earlier this week, dander raised. And there he's attempting to mock Olivia Juliana. Okay, well, she didn't like that. And so she decided to clap back at him. And we had a lot of fun with that. It's on the channel. But she also decided, no, I'm gonna make something of this, Matt Gaetz. Oh, you don't want abortions? How'd you like to help fund abortions? And so she tweeted, in honor of Matt Gaetz publicly body shaming me, I'll be fundraising for the Gen Z for Change Abortion Fund. The Gen Z for Choice Fund splits donations across states where services are most needed. And she put a link, and we're gonna give it to you too. So this contributes to efforts to make sure that these rights are financially feasible for people in a lot of different states. And earlier today, she announced, by the way, we're up to $214,000 raised off of the back of Matt Gaetz being an absolute, in the words of Brett Ehrlich, tool spank. Now, in response to that announcement, I tweeted at her because she was putting up some great memes. I tweeted at her, hit him again. And she said, give me a few minutes. And the next thing she posted was a Photoshop she made of her dunking on Matt Gaetz and announcing that it's not $214,000. It's nearly $250,000. And that was like an hour ago. God only knows what it's at right now. And so she, as an activist in this and other issues, and she has had to, I'm gonna guess, stand up to unimaginable amounts of hatred. A campaign led by Matt Gaetz that identifies her and holds her up to be individually attacked by these absolute troglodytes, trolls, and monsters. And not only has she not backed down, she has turned it into an effort that has already raised $250,000 to help people pay for these procedures. JR, I could not love it more.
Is he still gonna be talking? He's still gonna be targeting Olivia? Is that the idea?
Probably.
Is that the process here? Because again, like I said, when this first thing all happened with stupid ass Matt Gaetz, this is their argument. This is their best defense for their push to take away reproductive rights in the country. It's you're ugly, but you're fat. That is the start and finish of their entire political belief system behind this whole push to take away people's rights. It is you're ugly and you're fat. And he thinks, let me go ahead and tweet about it too, and that'll help me more. They don't understand that people actually have a belief system. They actually have an agenda. They actually have a bottom line they want to get to that's going to actually assist Americans and actually get them to a point where they have a better life, where they're happy, where they have an opportunity for this whole American dream that we always talk about that we actually don't believe in. So start and finish, when you're dealing with idiots whose worldview is about 5 minutes long, it's very easy to undercut them and easily use their stupidity to actually get to your end goal, which I don't even think is the end goal, as you pointed out. Let's see where this actually goes. And we'll see if Matt Gaetz has more to say out of his stupid face.
Oh yeah, no. I hope he does. Matt Gaetz, say some more stuff.
Talk.
We'll fund some more abortions for people who desperately need the money. Come on, you got some more little jokes? You gonna steal and misappropriate some more George Carlin quotes? Look up other comedians. You want to get some, I don't know, use some Dave Chappelle, use some Joe Rogan, use whatever you want. We'll raise some money off of that too.
Use some Mark Short, because he had some good things to say.
He does. Oh, we're going to be playing that, don't worry. But anyway, I said that I couldn't love Olivia Giuliani more. No, it turns out I could, because she proved it to me. She tweeted, fun fact, I went to a WWE style wrestling camp at age 13. That's how she learned to take on authority figures or bad guys. I was a big fan in high school of wrestling too, so I personally love that. Also, from watching that, I decided to grow my hair out to be like Rob Van Dam, and that was not one of my better choices.
You're lying to me.
It's freshman year. I was one of those people.
We need
anyway. This is really before phones had cameras on them, but it wasn't good. Anyway, I looked like Jesus, but in worse shape. Okay, so she goes on to say, my mother always taught me when I was growing up that I should never start a fight, but someone else started one against me, I should finish it. And although I have a feeling this fight is far from over, I'm certain Gaetz will not be the one winning it. We're gonna love that. And then also, this is just such a specific thing. I feel like it was tailor-made for me. She photoshopped this of her as Thanos and them. They're the stones of power. She's using them to accomplish her goals. I just love it. By the way, she's been challenging him to finally address this. He keeps putting out things through like his spokespeople. He won't actually address her now. Maybe he's worried she'll raise 10 million, I don't know. But a spokesperson put out a statement saying, with Roe v. Wade overturned, America is now a pro-life nation. No amount of solicitations will change that, except that it will, because the money's gonna go towards those procedures. You can't deny that. He goes on to say, Congressman Gaetz never mentioned the adult's weight, leftist media did. Which, first of all, highly cowardly. So now you're a monster and also you're a coward. That's fun. Second of all, yes, he damn sure did. we played the video on the pre-show yesterday. A reporter asked him, so wait, are you saying that these protesters are ugly and fat? And he's like, yes. So it's a lie, and you're awful, and you're a coward. And I get, I would be cowardly too if something I had said was being used to raise this much money. But let's just point out what he is. That's Matt Gaetz.
What a loser. Again, so you need to go through a spokesperson in order to give your point of view after you've said plenty yourself. You put your stupid face in front of cameras all the time and say these ridiculous things. And then once it gets laughter from your minions, then it's a great thing. But when someone actually challenges you and asks you, so what do you think about the fallout and actually the results of your words and your actions? A spokesperson has to go and talk to you guys about it. I can't talk about this anymore.
100%.
These are the people you follow.
Yeah, suddenly he doesn't have anything to say. Funny how that works out. Anyway, if you would like to participate on this massive financial dunking on Matt Gaetz and at the same time help out people who might need it, here's a shot of the Gen Z for Choice abortion fund page. You can go to secure.actblue.com/donate/GenZForChoice. But if you search for the Gen Z for Choice abortion fund, you will definitely find it. And as was said earlier, it goes to efforts in a lot of different states where this is desperately needed. Needed now more than ever. It was needed before, but even more now. And you know, endless credit to Olivia for doing this. Really do love it. But with all that said, this isn't the only dunking on Matt Gaetz that's gonna be happening on today's show. Can we jump into this next video?
Let me just say what everybody here knows. Mike Pence will never be president. Nice guy, not a leader.
Mark?
Well, I don't know if Mike Pence will run for president in 2024, but I don't think Matt Gaetz will have an impact on that. In fact, I'd be surprised if he was still voting. It's more likely he'll be in prison for child sex trafficking by 2024. And I'm actually surprised that Florida law enforcement still allows him to speak to teenage conferences like that. So I'm not too worried about Matt Gaetz, thanks.
Damn, I think what Matt Gaetz thinks is, why am I on fire suddenly? But anyway, that was Mark Shore, former chief of staff for Pence, absolutely destroying Matt Gaetz there. And there's some issues for Matt Gaetz in that video. One, being like the bold guy who predicts that Pence won't be president. Oh, very, very bold prediction there, buddy. I think everyone, including mother, knows that Pence is not gonna be president. But second of all, yeah, he is still under investigation for the human trafficking. And it's one thing for Mark Short to imply that he should be worried about that. There's also some evidence that maybe Matt Gaetz is still worried about it, because we just learned that he was one of 20 Republicans who voted no to reauthorizing an anti-human trafficking law on Wednesday. Perhaps trying to preemptively save your butt, buddy, that you're against this. So the law was the Frederick Douglass Trafficking Victims Prevention and Protection Reauthorization Act. It still passed 401-20. So voting against it and making it fail is one thing. That looks terrible. But voting against it, knowing it's gonna pass anyway, just to make sure we know that you do not want these protections for victims of human trafficking, that you don't want more investigations of it, that's like needlessly transparent about your own history and what you're worried about. By the way, it's been around for 22 years. It's been reauthorized tons of times, no trouble. It's just a routine thing that happens. And yet in this particular case, they had a problem with it. Now, not only Matt Gaetz, who has his own particular reason to be worried about it, which we'll get into, but also Marjorie Greene, Lauren Boebert, Mo Brooks, Ken Buck, Andy Biggs, Louis Gohmert, Gosar as well, all of those people. We'll get into why that whole group might be against this. But the act is simple. It combats human trafficking, particularly sex trafficking, through severe penalties for perpetrators and support services for victims. Nobody could be against that unless they think that they're one of the people who's gonna be having severe penalties levied against them. And Gaetz has been under federal investigation for 2 years over the question of whether he had sex with a minor, whether he paid for it across state lines. That would of course be sex trafficking. Now he has of course not been charged with anything, and he swears that he didn't do it. But note that this isn't the first time that he's taken this position. Back in 2017, he cast the only no vote on another anti-trafficking law. I believe that one was a Florida state law, but he was the only person against it. I think the Gaetz doth protest too much. JR, what do you think?
When is he gonna be asked about this constantly? And when is it every time that he puts his face in front of the camera. Someone should ask him, hey, so you voted against this child sex trafficking bill. Why? He'll have an answer. Mm-hmm. It won't make any sense, but he'll have an answer. And whatever he says, you'll easily be able to follow up and ask, so why is it you always accuse members of the LGBTQ plus community of being perverse child sexual predators that traffic them? Why is it you always say things like that, considering these accusations against you? Or why is it that people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Mo Brooks, Ken Buck, all these idiots who voted the same way Matt Gaetz did are always talking about how these libs and these gay folks are always going after your children, but they're standing next to Matt Gaetz. And after, if it does get to that point and Mark Short's predictions are correct, and he does end up getting arrested, indicted, even potentially jailed, are they going to be having to hear from people from now on asking, why were you standing next to a child sex trafficking culprit? And why is it that you thought he was on the up and up? I thought you had a good radar for these horrific people in our society. Maybe great we point. Should listen to that BS that you spew anymore. This should be a normal thought process that regular people go down after you see criminals, which we've seen over and over and over again, become these are exposed as the criminals that they are on the very things that they're telling you to divert your eyes towards someone else to pay attention to. I don't understand how this normal thought process of seeing the actual bad guys be exposed, and you still don't understand it. The reasons why they've convinced you is because they're doing it. It's just the oddest thing. Somehow people still go to Catholic churches and go, yeah, you know, that whole priest cover-up thing wasn't that big of a deal. I don't know how this happened.
Ridiculous. Yeah, that little cable of Greene and Boebert and Gaetz and all of that, like, they would have you believe that there is a portion of our government that wants to traffic kids for sex.
We do
have that. If that's so, which side of the vote do you think would be a part of that cable? The ones who tried to add higher penalties for it, or the ones who took a last stand? The hill they're dying on is not protecting people from trafficking. Makes you wonder. We need to progress to some truly dark news. Federal prosecutors say that a former Marine was plotting a series of mass murders as well as politically motivated rapes to, in his own words, decrease the number of minority individuals in the United States. Now, thankfully, they stopped him, but this is a reminder that these sorts of people and this corrosive, toxic white supremacist ideology is alive and well in law enforcement, in the military, and they've got more and more media figures to watch if they want to stay really mad at non-white people in America. In this case, though, we're talking about Matthew Belanger, a member of a neo-Nazi organization called Rapekrieg. He was arrested back in June on federal firearms charges related to what are called straw purchases of an assault style rifle and a handgun. It's when you get someone else to buy it supposedly for them, but they're giving it to you. It's to avoid potentially being stopped by a background check, harder to track down, that sort of thing. A detention memo filed by prosecutors in Hawaii said Belanger was aiming to bring down, quote, the Zionist order of governments. If you needed any more evidence about the sort of person and ideology that he is a part of. So he was in the Marines for 2 years, back in 2019 to 2021. So very recently, was removed with a other than honorable discharge, a punishment reserved for serious misconduct. Apparently, they searched his barracks and discovered electronic devices containing thousands of images, videos, and documents of white power ideology and, quote, violent uncensored executions and or rape. Let's pause for a second. This is exactly what we talk about constantly. There are a relatively small number of people, but enough in a country of over 300 million that just want to kill. They want to commit violent sexual crimes. And so when you are choosing to spread white supremacist, Christian nationalist bile out there, you're doing that knowing that these sorts of people are eating it up. And some of them are desperate to act on it. In this case, we have one. He tried to buy a PTR-91 assault rifle. And then when he apparently, after that, he wanted a Luger, which is a handgun notable for having been used by Nazi armed forces during World War II. So again, this is who he is. But much of his ideology and plotting, according to a memo, is based around a desire to lessen the number of non-white Americans and to rape, quote, white women to increase the production of white children. So you not only have the white supremacy, the anti-Semitism and all of that, you also have a fear apparently that there aren't enough white people being born, that whole population crisis thing going around on the right. So JR, this is everything that we talk about when we're breaking down Tucker Carlson and all that. And here it is, it almost led to potential mass killings and rapes by this individual.
Killing in the name of by Rage Against the Machine was released in, let me get the exact date, November 2nd of 1992. 1992, what was that, 30 years ago? Mm-hmm. What's that line? Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses. It's not a made up line, it's not a made up concept. This is goes back to our history. You got people that are in the military, you got people that are in law enforcement. Maybe they went from military to law enforcement, that's their identity. And that doesn't exclude them from being racist, bigoted, anti-Semitic pieces of garbage. I don't know why there's this weird thought process that somebody puts on a badge or tosses on a gun or then signs up for the military that suddenly, automatically, no matter who they are, who they believed in and who how they were raised, and who they were influenced by, just goes out the window. Why is it that we believe that? We have to have this confidence in these types of folks, even though they're behind, standing behind closed doors, plotting and planning things like this that could potentially take out a specific group of people. Yeah. And when this happens, we go, that was one bad guy. Until there's the next one, and there's another bad guy.
Yeah. No, Jared, it's just a single person. It's not anything that we need to worry about. I mean, I hear all the time from Tucker Carlson that like white supremacy, what is that? Wouldn't even be on the top 20 list of terrible things in the country. Why are they talking about that? He is running cover every night as a wealthy heir to a fortune. He's running cover for these sorts of prospective murderers and rapists. Oh, and by the way, in this case, let's give you just a couple more details about this guy, what he wanted to do. So in their conversations with the group, by the way, they said rape ideology is an effective tool to use against the group's enemies. They also said, by the way, anyone who's unable to pull the trigger on a Jewish child are unfit for membership in the group. Again, you cannot separate out the anti-Semitism. It is baked through every layer of this. That is what people like Tucker Carlson are actively promoting and attempting to provide cover for. They also talked about how there's an unnamed girl that they wanted to rape. They showed images of a girl in high school outfits. So you get some of the weird, violent pedophilia in there too. That's what they're defending. That's their ideology. Also, and just bear this in mind when you're engaging in social media, this individual allegedly created a fake Twitter account in the name of a fictitious gay Jewish man with two adopted daughters named Israel Schillingstein in order to, quote, generate black hate towards the Jewish community by making derogatory statements while disguised as a Jewish man. This is what they do. They pretend to be gay or black or trans or whatever to say things that the right can then use as arguments for why on the lighter end, you shouldn't respect or trust or have any empathy for these people. And on the farthest end, why you should want these people to be wiped out in mass. That's what they do. That's why you can't automatically trust stuff on social media. It's an easy, in some cases, they just take people from those groups. They have, you know, people who are part of minority groups, they have women who are actively advocating for rights to be revoked. They have people with the, you know, the long ago aura of being leftist or whatever that now agree with everything that the right says. It's an attempt to manipulate people into going along with this ideology, JR.
Yeah, Waz was on a watch list this morning and he brought this up when it came to people talking at a Trump rally, but it's the same question you can ask. Ask yourself this question. So you got folks like this and you have people who are advocating for universal healthcare, a living wage, affordable housing, the ability to just live comfortably and actually have access to this American dream, right? We've got those folks. These are the ones that they're saying are these blood-sucking, hateful people who don't want to give you any rights or that are trying to take down the United States of America. This is what those folks are fighting for. If you ask yourself, so what is it this people like this guy are fighting for? Their entire life goes into trying to find an agenda and some kind of way to manipulate people's directions of thought process to pit certain groups against each other so they can pursue their violent murderous ways. That is their objective in life. You know how much work and time it takes to put together this process of having fake profiles and then inserting this kind of commentary and then having a plan to take out certain numbers of people in certain groups. This is a full-time job. This is his identity. This is his what he thinks is his purpose for being on Earth. But these are the people who somehow tell someone else who says, we're fighting for a free for free healthcare. Let's not even say it that way because Americans already pay. But for universal healthcare, we're fighting for you to have a living wage. We're fighting for you to afford your damn house.
Yep.
Those are the evil people in our society, not the people saying, I'm trying to surround up a bunch of people together, imagery of rape victims, and let's kill some Jewish children.
Yep. 100%. With that, we're going to take our second break. When we come back, though, this story coming out of a prison is one of the most disgusting things that I've ever heard. I don't think our audience is going to be shocked by it, but I found it to be pretty shocking. And then Herschel Walker doing everything he can to neo-dodge questions about why he won't debate Raphael Warnock after this. Okay, I think we can fit in both of these stories. We're going to have to be relatively quick on both of them, though. But with that said, let's jump into this. One of the most disgusting stories involving a prison or even involving law enforcement that I can remember happened at an Indiana jail. Understand, we have no lack of stories involving cops and law enforcement officers doing the wrong thing. This, though, like everyone should be focused on this story. Women at this jail were apparently subjected to what is being referred to as a night of terror when one of the guards allowed male detainees access to their cells. And now the women are suing, and we're gonna give you the details. The lawsuit is against Clark County Sheriff Jamie Knoll, former jail officer David Lowe, and other unknown jail officers as well. The lawsuit alleges that an ex-corrections officer gave male inmates keys to access the female side of the jail, which allegedly led to attacks, threats, and rapes behind bars. Lawsuit claims that the incident started with a $1,000 bribe to David Lowe, who's a now former corrections officer. You can see a mugshot of him here. So according to the lawsuit, he was given $1,000. And for that, he was willing to let multiple male detainees assault, threaten, rape, and who knew, maybe murder the women in this prison. And he allowed all that to happen, despite his training, despite his ethical obligation, despite all of that, for $1,000. We're gonna give you more details. So apparently he provided them keys. Two inmates initially used the keys to access the female pods. They then threatened the women, saying that if you press the button that's apparently there to call the officers, they would kill them, okay? And honestly, I guess the joke is on the women in this case, because even if they'd pressed it, God only knows if they would have gotten any help, because apparently the male officers were as in on this plot as the male detainees. So they went and got more of the men who came in, eventually assaulted, attacked, and raped multiple of the female inmates. After multiple hours, a woman did hit the button, began screaming to call, and with that, the male inmates did finally retreat. After that, though, there seemed to be more punishment against the victims of the attacks and rapes. They were told that they lost their dark privileges. So for the next 3 days, the lights remained on in the female pods. The female inmates were put on lockdown, taken to holding cells to be questioned, and their belongings were rifled through, shook down, and in some cases destroyed. Because of course, they're the ones who need to be investigated after all of this. Well, now, thankfully, there's a lawsuit. Hopefully, we'll get justice. But this is, JR, I think one of the most disgusting stories I think that I've ever heard that we've had to cover on the Young Turks.
You know, it's weird. Sometimes you hear women hear about a sexual assault case or hear about someone who's a rapist. And then whenever there's men that are defending or saying, well, we don't know what happened yet. What was she wearing? But oh my God, she's too ugly for that. All those types of things. Sometimes women will say, hey, you know, see all these guys that are defending these rapists? I think they're defending them because they're just like them. And sometimes these guys get offended and go, how dare you say that about me? I have no affinity or connection to these rapists, but you're defending them. And in this particular case, when it comes to prison guards, there's this mindset that the only kind of guards that end up being corrupted by maybe some criminals that are in the facility are just women who want to fall in love with a convict. You know, it's weird though, because I wonder how much it happens when male guards like these assist other inmates in carrying out widespread rapes of other women that are inmates as well, because they feel some kind of weird connection to them.
Yeah.
When it comes to sexual assault, for some reason, why is it some guys who are in corrections have this weird affinity and connection to the criminals who commit these kinds of acts? It's really 100%. Weird. And maybe we should reassess the way that we think about these types of assaults and whether or not we're putting the the onus on the victims more so than the culprits. We'd like to do that even outside of prison society.
100%. So disgusting. Okay, with that, we're going to end out the hour, changing up to something very different. When you're ready, you can launch into the next video.
Well, first of all, Senator Warnock has nothing else to talk about. He don't want to talk about the high gas prices. He don't want to talk about the high groceries. I've told him many times, I'm ready to debate him anytime, any day.
Well, if he doesn't want to talk, and if you're ready to debate, I know one way you could do that. You could debate him, you know?
I just want to make it for the fans, not about a political party or about some media. And all he's doing is talking. I want to make it a fair and equitable debate for the people.
Are you worried about the moderator?
What I want him to do is he knows this. There's a lot of outlets that want to host this debate. And I'm saying, let's get together. I'm willing to cross the aisle and talk to him and say, who's going to host this debate? Not do it on his terms, but do it on the terms that the people can see the contrast between he and I, where I don't want men and women sports. I'm not going to have that. I don't want to see high gas prices. I want to see the crime stop. Those are things he voted for, which he don't want to admit. So he need an answer to that, because the Georgia people are talking. They want him to answer a question, not just him to continue to talk to the media.
So he said, so you will debate, but you just want to make sure the rules are, and the moderator is something you want to have a say in.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right. But it seemed like he want to have a say in it, because he want to continue to hide behind other people rather than him getting out doing what he's supposed to do, is representing the people, which he hasn't done a good job at it.
Right.
Being a leader, he's not good at it.
Now, in his defense, Herschel Walker is doing the best that he can there. But the idea that Raphael Warnock doesn't want to talk, I just want him to talk. I want him to answer questions. Maybe debate him then. Maybe that would be a way. If he doesn't want to answer these questions, how about stand across him on a debate stage and ask him the questions, Herschel Walker? But Herschel Walker, he doesn't want to do it for the political parties. He wants to do it for the fans. What does that have to do with it? It's a debate. It's a part of every election. It doesn't have anything to do with fans. And the particular issues. So you want to grill Raphael Warnock supposedly on his votes to have men play in women's sports? I don't know what you think you're talking about there. But again, if you want to talk about that issue or seemingly any issue, then go on the debate stage. But he's just so desperate. I'm a strong man. I want to debate, but I don't want to debate in these conditions. And it's not about the moderators, but maybe it is about the moderators. And the whole time Brian Kilmeade is like, oh, so you're going to debate. That's the takeaway that you have from that performance by Herschel Walker, that yeah, he's really excited to debate. Man, Herschel Walker falls apart under the most puddin' soft questioning that I think we've ever seen in politics, JR.
I think the first question is, what is your name? Anyways, Anyways, so at one point, maybe there's a side note, but Herschel Walker mentioned high gas prices and high groceries. What's a high grocery? Like Doritos and the Hostess cupcakes and Oreos?
Well, I recently saw a THC laced barbecue sauce. I think that's high groceries, actually.
It's the groceries you buy once you're high, John. Calm down, Jesus. I mean, or I think it's what those libs are sneaking into our food now, is some THC to get your kids high. Oh God, Herschel Walker is the gift that keeps giving. I don't know how anyone is going to vote for this guy, but I'm also worried that enough people will, because he's just this Plato figure that Republicans can mold and have him say whatever they need him to say. Oh, and he's a black guy, so that's helpful to make them think that they're not actually racist. Please.
He's famous. He happens in this case to be black, and he says that men shouldn't play in women's sports. I mean, what else do they need? Not competence, not a person who hasn't publicly admitted that he wanted to kill people and he only stopped because of divine intervention and all that. And with all that baggage, all that insanity, he's down only 3 points in polls to Raphael Warnock. Jesus, America. Anyway, with that said, that's it for the first hour. Thank you to everyone who is watching. We do have a lot more though after this break, so don't go anywhere. Strategic Diversity Dragon wrote a comment, John looks like a European soccer god.
Side note, speaking of hot, you guys do want to see John in a tank top. Dude has been working out. Let's keep it real. Dude has been working out. I think the 20 pounds that I lost, I think John picked up around shoulders and arm area. Just, I want to make sure you guys understand that. If you catch him in the streets, do not confront him. He will knock you TF out.
I did gain the weight. You missed a little bit in the targeting of where it went.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.